Cronos Radio.
Hello everyone. In this week in Pristina is being held the 5th Human Rights Documentary Film Festival One World, with more than 35 films from around the world participating in this festival. The producer of the film Injustice, Ken Farrow from Great Britain, was one of the guests in this festival. His film was shown on the third night, and after that we have made an interview with him.
The film tells the story of people who were killed by the police in England between 1969 and 1999, between 30 years. 1,000 people died in police custody in Britain. So out of those 1,000 cases of people killed by the police, not one single police officer has ever been prosecuted for the murder. And the film really is about a few of those cases, and it's about the families of the people who have been murdered by the police, about their struggle for justice, about their fight for the truth. When we made the film, nobody had ever made a film about this issue before. The BBC and all the other national broadcasters had ignored it and were ignoring it. What we did when we made the film was that we brought all the families together, and they formed their own organisation to work together, to support each other. And of course, when you're on your own fighting, it's completely different when you're with 10, 20 or 300 people. So that was a very good thing that happened with the film. Of course, the deaths continue, and so the struggle for justice continues, and new families join all the time because people are still being killed. So since we finished the film, we've spent 3 years taking the film around the world, showing it to people. And people are generally shocked because Britain has a reputation for democracy, and people look to Britain for guidance. And the fact that there are human rights abuses happening in Britain, I think, is very shocking for people. But of course, Britain has a reputation, you know, it's a democracy, and people assume that there are human rights within Britain. Of course, human rights exist in Britain, but they're not unlimited, so there's a limit on human rights, and the fact that people are being killed by the state and that their murderers, police officers, are still working is obviously an indication that everything isn't so good in Britain. And also, when we made the film, the police tried to ban the film, to censor it. They tried to... when we made the film, the film was about the family point of view. We weren't... and in fact, police don't talk to the media in Britain. There's a close relationship between newspapers and television and the police, because they rely on them for information about crime, and many stories in any newspaper across the world is about crime. So the broadcasters and newspapers don't want to upset the police too much. But our job was really to make the film, to speak the truth, and the truth is that the police have killed people. And of course, the police were very angry that we made the film, and they tried to stop the film by threatening many cinemas and theatres with legal action. They said they would sue them and if they showed the film. And we got into a fight with the police about the right to show the film. They really tried to kill the film, you know, and... they've done enough killing, they've killed people, and we won't let them kill the film. That's a very important point, that we made sure that the film was shown every time they tried to stop it. Somewhere around the corner, a cafe or somewhere which had a video screen, would show the film. And they realised that we would never go away. And after several months, they realised that the publicity that was generating, the controversy, because many newspapers, foreign television, CNN were doing pieces. And the image of the British police was actually having a different look to what people were used to. So it was successful in that sense. No television has shown the film in Britain. The BBC have refused to show it. Channel 4 and all the liberal institutions refuse to show it because they don't want to take on the police in such a direct manner. And until there's a political solution, until we find a government in Britain that's willing to confront the police, then the situation will continue. Once a confrontation happens, then the broadcasters will be happy to start reporting. But we have, in a sense, on some issues, we have a state-controlled media. I mean, the BBC, again, has this international reputation. But there are some, you know, there is freedom of expression is not unlimited in Britain. You can't speak about everything. There are some issues which they would rather keep hidden. Why police officers kill, we don't know. Quite a large number of black people are killed by the police. There could be a racial motivation. But if you go into a court and somebody has been killed, you don't want to prove that they're racist. You want to prove they're murderers. And the evidence is there for murder. So that's what we concentrate on. Britain is a very racist country. And so our fight is obviously to get the police officers convicted for murder. There is a difference, but obviously we have a Conservative Party and we have a Labour Party who are now in power, who actually are very conservative-minded. So it's a very, very sad situation. And in fact, under the current government, the numbers of people that are dying in police custody has gone up. Yeah, it's increased, and it's a terrible situation. And of course, there are very principled people within the Labour Party and within the government, but there's a certain fear about speaking about this issue, and it's completely wrong, because you know you can't have a society where police officers, state officials, commit murder and nothing happens to them. You know, they just walk the street, and the message that goes out to any police officer is that, well, you can kill and you'll never go to jail. And until officers start going to jail and have a fear that the actions they take, the violence they take, will end up with them going to jail, then it will continue. Obviously, the families that I'm involved with, in terms of the film took 7 years to make, and now we've shown it for 3 years, so that's 10 years of my life that I've committed to this. And the families, some of them have been fighting even longer. But I have faith in humanity, and I know that every time we show the film, everybody that watches the film feels the pain, and it feels angry as well, and wants to do something about this. So all we can do is build up the numbers of people that have watched it, and help contribute a little bit to the people's attitudes and to the knowledge that this is going on. And I think that if enough people learn about this issue, then there will be change. But you know, a government won't act until the masses of people move. And so as a journalist and as a filmmaker, my film is a weapon which the families use to try and inform people, to mobilize people, because when the community moves, when people move, then politicians have to listen.
One night earlier, in the second night of the festival, was shown a film from a Swedish production called Surplus, a film that explores the destructive nature of consumer culture. I'm going to leave you with some parts that were recorded during the showing of this film. From Pristina Cross, all the best.
Developers, 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 developers.
I think everybody in the world now can feel. Of these large multinational corporations. Many of these companies are much more powerful than even governments.
Developers, 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 developers.
The first world. We are 20% of the people of the world. And yet we are consuming 80% of the world's resources. This level of consumption is simply not sustainable. If we continue to consume at this current rate, then eventually I think we're going to hit the wall. If we are so stupid that we don't listen to the early warning signals that the planet is sending us. going to be a terrible time in history that may take hundreds of years before the planet heats again.
Socialize with each other.
1%.
This is certainly a tool that can bring people together.
1%.
More than
1%.
Than isolate them.
I think modern technology favors distancing over closeness, efficiency over playfulness, distancing over closeness, efficiency over playfulness. Why do people go out there and try to approach protest or try to, you know, do something. That isn't mindless violence. But the mindlessness is sitting there and doing dope, watching MTV, and then you go and get a job and you just schlep along. And that's, to me, that's violent. There's more and more signs everywhere that the life of consumerism is really not a satisfying life.
Carries it forward. It has to be stopped. It has to be destroyed.